Thank you, brother. Morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's a special day because this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our welcome and call to worship comes from Psalm 89:7. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. At this time, if you would stand, turn in your hymns to 310, the solid rock. Hallelujah. Solid rock today. Hallelujah. Do we have any special announcements?
Just want to say thanks to Jerry for all the beautiful decorations for Christmas here and all the poinsettias that are in the windows. And there's cards there if you want to dedicate one in memory of a loved one. sign the card, and we do ask that you maybe donate because the flowers did cost the ladies aid something. So whatever you'd like to donate, just let me know. Give me or Wanda or some, or you know, whatever you'd like to give. So
how about you, Sister Debbie? Any announcements?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I've been quiet the last couple of weeks. Watch out for January though, I'll be hitting you up.
Oh my.
How about you, Sister?
Yeah. In the back you'll see there's a have a table set up that has books on, mostly children's books. They were given to me by somebody who helps with the auction and they couldn't get rid of. So I threw them down to church, help the shelf. Children, parents, grandparents, whatever, help the shelf.
Yes, Sister Juan.
Okay, don't forget the social tonight at 5 o'clock. Plus, this is birthday Sunday, so there is brownies on the corner of the back table for anybody that would like to celebrate everybody's birthday. So help yourself on the way out.
And along with that, there are some flyers back there about Forever Young, the group that's going to be singing tonight. So if you'd like to take one of those along and invite someone, please do.
And we will be taking up an offering because, you know, to help, I mean, because they're doing this for nothing. And, you know, the offering are in entertainment tonight, so during the we'll be collecting an offering.
In relationship to that, we'll let you know who to make your check out. If you want to give a check, cash is fine, because we'll work it out whether it's made out to the people for your donation. We'll let you know that tonight after Tracy and I discuss it with them. So. Also, I'm always getting calendars in the mail from the various organizations for donations. You give one person, by golly, they sell your name to 26 others. And there's a few of them laying on the end of the table back here, at least they were. I don't know where they are now. If you want one, help yourself to it. Also, your starting Christmas cards here at the church, please check your mailboxes, because each week I'm sure you're going to have some in there. There's some back there right now. And also, check your box for your newsletter. Lisa put the newsletters, I think, in yesterday or the day before. So appreciate that, and thank you, and we'll let you know about tonight's donation money.
Yes, Tawanda.
I forgot. Along with the session, don't forget to bring a meat, a side dish, you know, so we can dig out as usual. Also, don't forget the ladies that are willing to help. After church, we're going to set up the tables for the session. Thank you.
Any other? Brother Frank.
Yes, just one last report about the church directory. We did work on that Friday evening. I have it pretty well finished, ready to take to the printers, but if there's a last minute change, give me a call today, because it'll be going there tomorrow.
Any other announcements?
I do have one. I forgot. A reminder that next Sunday, I believe, after the worship service, Sunday School will hand out their annual Christmas treat for everybody. So pass the word along.
Sweet for the sweet.
Any other announcements?
Okay. I'm over here in the dark.
Okay. This brother
He's
will
trying
be
trying to tell us that we don't always
the event happen. Wreath and devotion of the light, the candle of hope.
But I'm going to announce something first.
Oh, okay.
On the 17th is our annual candlelight service here at 7:00. If anyone wants to participate, please let me know this week. I'm trying to finalize this program. So if you want to be in the program that night, please let me know, and we'll get it together. It is on the 17th at 7:00 here, and invite others. We do have some guest music coming, and also one of those guests, and she's been here quite a bit, and that is Crystal Saxton. She is doing very well. I'm going to give you an update on her cancer situation. She's doing well. She's being blessed. And she also was able to go and complete her Christmas CD that she's been working on for 4 years over the sickness and all, and it has been completed. She will have them here that night for sale, $10. So she asked me to go ahead and pass that information along. Anybody that would want to purchase one of her Christmas CDs, she finally got it done. So that's December the 17th at 7:00.
Who is lighting the candle?
Oh, that's Debbie and I.
This is a team effort. I don't do well with candles and that, and I didn't want to set anything on fire, so Jerry's going to light, and I'm going to read what Teresa gave me. Teresa couldn't be here this Sunday, so she asked that we fill in. See, it takes two of us to replace one Teresa. And, of course, they said this week is hope. Christmas is coming, loved ones to see, gifts to love, baking to share. We prepare our homes for celebration, yet even more important than this outward preparation is the preparation of our heart. The Advent season is a beautiful reminder to prepare our hearts as we prepare our homes to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus. Today, we light the first of the four candles in Advent wreath, the candle of hope. Is your heart filled with hope? Do you have a confident expectation of your tomorrow? What happens when the road ahead is filled with loss and stress weighs your shoulders down? When confident expectation in life's tomorrows dwindle, what can you do? How can you walk in hope when you feel hopeless inside? In one word, the answer to confident expectation is Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas. Hope in Jesus comes from more than just a belief that he was once a baby in a manger. This hope in him has been called an anchor of the soul. It is something deep within that secures you through the storms of life. Putting your hope in Jesus will give you these four things. 1, hope for help. We are invited to come to him and confidently ask for help. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. 2, hope to overcome. Things that leave one feeling powerless and hopeless come in many forms. With Christ's strength, you can overcome great obstacles, and faith in Jesus gives hope and help to overcome. 1 John 5:4 says, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Hope for power, 3. Sometimes in life we find ourselves with a task that simply looks too big for us. We do not just need a cup of God's strength added to our own. Rather, we need his strength in us to do what we need to do. He will give it. 2 Corinthians 2:19 says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Seeing our weakness as the entry point of God's strength gives access to his power. 4, hope for eternity. When we put our faith and hope in Jesus, it not only gives us help, strength, and power where we walk today, but it also gives us hope for life after death. It is a confident expectation of the ultimate tomorrow. The God of hope sent his son to be our savior. He is only one prayer away. If you want the confident expectation of his strength and wisdom in your today and his help and hope for your tomorrow, you need only ask. Just tell him. Okay, Jerry.
Joys and concerns. Yes.
My sister Irene lost her granddaughter this week. Kate emailed her. She passed away Thursday evening. Funeral was Tuesday.
Well, I have a joy and a concern. The joy is, I appreciate, thank you for doing the church. I want to thank Aaron for helping me. I couldn't have done it without him. He did that beautiful tree by himself while I worked on everything. That's a joy having him to help me out with that. Also, the concern is to please keep Aaron's family in prayer because we were here Thursday working on the church. We lost his mom Thursday evening, and they need your prayers.
Sister Debbie.
I ask for safe travels for our daughter-in-law, Michelle, who's heading back to Tennessee. She had come up for an event with her friends, and now she's traveling back. And I'm always a little leery of a young lady traveling on her own that far, but the Lord always blesses us, so I'll just continue to keep her for safe travels. And I have some unspoken requests.
Yes, Mr. Bob.
We're just grateful. It was a joy that this week has presented many opportunities, and they've been completed, and we're just grateful for that and give the Lord the praise for the desire and the ambition. And also one other thing, two other things, is the J. Dow family, hardworking man that worked, I don't know, 40-some years, I think, at Moore Business Forms, 45 years, and I think he was 89. He passed away this week. Wonderful gentleman. He was so kind and compassionate. Keep his family. Wife, I think, is in a nursing home, so we want to share that relationship there with them.
What was his first name?
Huh?
What was his first name?
Victor.
Victor J. Dow. J.
It was an answer to prayer.
You know, Brother, I have a joy. I almost forgot this. Please, Lord, forgive me. But I have a joy. We just need to remember the widow and the mite, the gate wall she had. I got a card in the mail today. I mean, this week. I got a card in the mail. It was from Joy Saylor. And I was so overwhelmed, weren't you? She had mentioned that, you know, she misses everybody, and she always knows that I collect for Heifer International Project. And she said the past year, even before, way before John passed away, he told her that they were going to collect quarters for the International Heifer Project. And she sent a check for $50 made out to the Heifer Project, so I put that in the mail. But just think, Mr. John and Miss Joyce weren't well off financially, but they know where their heart lies. Well, and they know where their heart is. So let's just lift her up in prayer that her this month and the rest of the months go well for her and that she's blessed.
Brother Frank.
I have a deep concern about what's going on here in this world. Probably seen on television, this is close to my heart. This little 2 year or 3 year old child was taken and killed by, according to what it shows to right now, it may be the boyfriend of the mother. And I think it's such a terrible thing that we allow these kind of things to take place. I think we really need to keep this country in our prayers deeply.
Not to throw a damper on that, but it goes back to that verse of scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God is looking for someone to stand in the gap for such a need as this. And we as a church need to pray together and believe God for a miracle.
Such a terrible crime to such an innocent little child.
But he's in the arms of the Father. Hallelujah. Yes.
I lost my uncle yesterday morning. He lost his battle with cancer. And his wife is suffering from severe Alzheimer's. And just really doesn't know what's going on.
What's the family name? Yes, sir.
Joys and concerns. Joy is we celebrate our 28th anniversary this weekend. And so appreciate your thoughts and prayers with that. Also, I was able to visit Melly. She's doing well in her new home. And I put directions to her little cottage there on the bulletin board. I think it's 424 unit that she's out there at Edenton. And so just keep Melly in your thoughts and prayers as well. Also, I received a call from Hilda Schultz, and Kenneth's cancer has come back. He was doing really well, and had radiation, had all different kinds of treatments, and now that the cancer has come back again. So they're going to be trying, I think, something experimental maybe. But keep Kenneth in your prayers.
When I see commercials of these kids in the hospital who are 6 years old battling with a life-threatening illness. It's beyond their control. It's going to take the intervention of God to bring this healing because doctors don't have all the answers. And it grieves me, but it also brings me joy to know that all my kids are healthy. And I thank God for that. Yes, sir.
I'm asking for prayers for my wife's uncle, who was bailing by himself, and the bailer captured him and had held him for 4 hours, and he lost his arm. And my prayer is for asking prayer for him and the family.
Mm-hmm. Farm accidents happen, no matter how cautious you are, because it only takes a minute to change your life forever. Are there any more prayers and concerns? Yes, sister.
I just want to still keep my mom, Debbie, on the prayer list. She's been sick, and we've still not figured out what's going on, so just give her a little extra prayer. And Pat's still feeling under the weather here, so was in the hospital for a day, and just give it some extra prayers.
Are there any more requests? At this time, how you see or feel up to, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Because God is able. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer answering God, that you are concerned about the little children, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would be merciful unto these people and bring them to judgment, Lord, who have done this issue, Lord, but not just to this child, but also for the children in hospitals, Lord, who are dying of cancer at such a young age, and have asked the question, why me? What did I do to deserve this? But we know, Lord, that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to your purpose, that you have a way of working things out, Lord. Father, the requests are many, the requests are serious. I lift them up to you, Father, because only you and you alone can meet these needs. Touch these people today, Lord God, with your love and your mercy. Move on behalf of these people who have lost family members and give them your peace, Lord. And give them the hope in Jesus. Touch them with your Holy Spirit. Let them know that you've not forsaken them, Lord. Father, I lift up all these requests today and believing, Lord, that you were able to meet every need according to your will and your time. But in the name of Jesus, I lift him up to you, Father. For all those who are sick in body, Lord, that you would just touch them today. Be with them, Father, in this season, Lord, of loss and their times of loneliness. But if we have Jesus, we are not alone. Hallelujah. Father, I just lift up this church to you, Father, that you would be glorified in this place, that your presence, Lord, would be welcome, that you would meet each need, that you'd touch the pastor today, Lord, as he brings forth the message. I lift up all of our military to you, Lord God, and for those who are so far away at this time, missing their loved ones, Lord, that you would remind them, Father, that they have people at home that are praying for them and their safe return. Father, I just thank you for your many blessings. That you would touch this church again, Lord. Meet every need, Father, because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, with heavy heart, I just thank you, Lord, that you're able to move on behalf of people who can't speak for themselves. Lord, for those who are lost and undone, that just for a mighty move of God. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you because you are my Savior and Lord. And I thank God I know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. And Father, as we pray the perfect prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is still good, even in our times of despair. Hallelujah. This time we're called Christian giving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Hallelujah. At this time, when the ushers come. joy of giving, that you give us a small portion, Lord, that you love us, Lord, and allow us to give back to you a portion. Father, this money, Lord, would go for your kingdom, for your work, Lord God, for the building of the church, for the ministries of the church. Thank you, Father, for all those who have given, and for those who struggle to give, that you would bless them. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, boys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this time, if you would, turn to hymn 92, please, and stand if you're able. Brothers and sisters, our scripture today, I was looking for two little words, Jesus wept, but I didn't find that today. Praise God. It should always be a joy to want to share the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood. As fire consumes water, causes water to boil, to make your name known in your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard or perceived by the ear. Now the eye has seen any God besides you, who acts for the ones who speak. Let me back up here. Just a spot. It's not easy standing up here. Let me back up. The mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside thee, who seek for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned, and these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. Hallelujah. But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are, hallelujah, fade as a leaf, and the iniquities, like the wind, have taken away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up, hallelujah, and all but of you. Hallelujah. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we the work of your hands. Be not furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we are all your people. Thank you, Lord. At this time, Pastor Tracy.
Good job, thank you. Thank you, Brother Brad. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think one of the reasons this light is out here is so that this one lone candle here can shine a little brighter for us, and we can focus on the Advent wreath here this morning. That being the first Sunday of Advent, it is a Sunday of hope. Also, wanted to say thanks to everyone for your thoughts and prayers in this past couple of weeks here. Cousin passed away, and we've just kind of had lots of things going on in our family, and we're just grateful for your constant love and support. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, it is with love in our hearts that we come before you today to worship you and to praise you, and we just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now would be indeed acceptable in your sight. We thank you for this Advent season, and we ask your blessings in it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is Advent again. And what a blessing it was to walk in the church this morning and see everything decorated. I love all the decorations. Been busy at our home getting outside decorated and almost have the inside done. So we are looking forward to Christmas Day. You know, this year we actually had a longer time to get ready. There was actually more days between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year than I think ever before, with Thanksgiving being early. And usually the last Sunday of November is the first Sunday of Advent, and so this year it was bumped back to the first Sunday of December. And so we actually had 31 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's a whole month for us to get ready. I don't know about you, but I felt like I needed that time. And just about ready there, just about ready to get my cards together and my letters out. And so we're well ahead of the schedule normally than we are this time of year. So it is with great anticipation and preparations that we look forward to that special day. I believe there's only 22 days left to Christmas, so it's time to get ready. You remember, maybe for some a long time ago, but you remember how it was when you were a kid. It just seemed like it took so long for Christmas to come, and it just felt like you were just going to burst if it didn't come. The waiting, the hoping, the dreaming, and finally then it would be Christmas Eve. And, it was oftentimes kids, they're so excited about what's going to happen the next day that they can't get to sleep, So you were told, well, you know, Santa's not going to come unless you go to sleep. And so it seemed like that made it that much more harder and that much more pressure on you to get to sleep as you were excited about what was going to take place. One of the excitements in our home was the Christmas Eve service. And like the service we're going to have on the 17th, a Christmas Eve service was the highlight for our church family. We had such wonderful musical talent, and it just seemed like everyone turned out. The church was full and decorated, and everybody was full of Christmas joy. And it was the one service that I really looked forward to as a kid each year. And it was sometimes it seems like it's hard to wait. I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. And it seems like it never fails. I always get in the wrong line at the checkout. I get behind the wrong people. They're turning left, and I want to go right. And you know how it is. And so in our society today, our satisfaction is almost instant gratification. We have the microwaves. We have Google. Just everything is just so quick today. And our society has been, I think, prepared us to be so fast-paced and so instant and have that gratification so quickly. And so it's hard to wait. But they say that patience is a virtue, right? And so patience is significant. As individuals and collectively as a church, we have to wait. And that's true for the body of Christ as well, because we have been waiting for Jesus' return. The classic event of the century, of all of history, we are still waiting for. And, it's been about 2,000 years, but we are waiting for his return. We celebrate this Advent season, his first entry into our world, the first incarnation. But we look forward to and wait, hopefully expectantly. Hopefully we're waiting and watching, not giving up on the hope of his return. And so I want to encourage you this morning to think about hope as we light the candle of hope this morning, and think about his return. I want to encourage you not to give up. It might be something that you've been thinking about, maybe something you've been praying for. I love to hear those joys of praise when someone said, well, I've been praying for 5 years. I've been praying for 10 years. I've been praying for 20 years for this to happen and finally come to fruition. What a blessing that is. And so I want to encourage you on this Sunday of hope not to give up hope. Hope is a confident expectation that a desire will be fulfilled. It is that a wishful trust that we have. Webster says that the virtue by which a Christian looks with confidence for grace, for God's grace in this world and glory in the next. That is our hope. Our hope is in Christ. We see that hope oftentimes at the graveside. Christians, we grieve, but we don't grieve like the world grieves. Oftentimes, a person goes to the grave without that sense of hope. There's a great tragedy. It's a great welling that takes place, sorrow that is beyond words. But for the Christian, we have that sense of hope, and that hope for us then tempers that moment. Hope is a reward of patience. Hope is the anticipation of good things to come, and it is an important ingredient in a happy life. The enjoyment of a thing is increased when one has waited a long time to receive it. And so think about that. Here it is, the church, the body of Christ. We've been waiting for 2,000 years. What a tremendous blessing it's going to be when Christ finally returns. It'll be a tremendous enjoyment for us to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all of eternity. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope." The word is written for us that we might have hope. We can have hope even in the midst of a crazy world in which we live. We can have hope. Our hope is in him, of course, And also we have hope in his return and in the anticipation of the kingdom to come. Think about that. The church waiting 2,000 years. What a glorious thing that is going to be. The prophet Isaiah here, our scripture for today, has this hope. He has a hope of a Messiah, hope of a kingdom to come and the reign of that kingdom. And so I wonder if you this morning can see that in your mind's eye. Can you see the kingdom that is coming? Can you see the king that is coming? I love this verse 4 is, I think, significant. I want to share it in this version. It says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him." Now, can we imagine, can we see with our mind's eye the things that he has prepared for us, for those who are waiting for him? This is a great verse, and it is actually one of Dr. Stanley's favorite verses. And so I want to share with you this morning a couple of points that he makes about this verse. It is a verse, I think, worthy of the Advent season as we celebrate this first Sunday of hope. He says, "In this hurry-up world, waiting for anything can cause us to lose our temper, our good sense, and our tongues more frequently than we care to admit. No one enjoys waiting in line. We don't like to wait at stoplights. We don't like waiting for dinner. We don't like even waiting for good things like for fish to bite. We want what we want right now. Yet the Word of God insists that we learn some of life's greatest lessons while we wait. Waiting rooms can be hard classrooms, but God promises vast rewards for those that wait for him. God plans to use the long pauses in our lives for our blessing if we let him." And so here's five major rewards for those that wait in hope. First is that we discover God's will and purpose in the things that most concern us. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. God does not string us out to tantalize us. He does not dangle carrots in front of our noses to lead us along. He does not say, as many earthly parents say, 'We'll see.' No, right now, even as we wait, he is working all things together for our good, for his glory." The second reward is that we receive supernatural physical energy and strength. Isaiah 40:29-31 says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And so God promises that as we wait on him, he will supply us with supernatural physical energy. While our impatience makes us weary and worn, actively waiting on him energizes us. 5 or 10 minutes on waiting on God can be like a 2-hour nap. Waiting on him is never wasted time. And then the third reward is that we can win battles. "Wait for the Lord and he will save you," Proverbs 20:22. How wonderful to see the Lord rescue us and bless us with his favor. When we do things our way in our own hurried time, we end up defeated. But waiting on God can ensure our victory and keep us from foolish acts. And then the fourth reward is that we see the fulfillment of our faith. God said through the prophet Isaiah here in the chapter 49, he says, "You shall not be ashamed who wait for me." And so we'll never be embarrassed for waiting on God. It's always the smart thing to do. When others encourage us to forge ahead instead of waiting on the Lord, we need to remember that we will never ultimately be put to shame. "But Lord," we may say during a long wait, "suppose it doesn't work out." His answer, he'll never let us down. He'll never let us down. And the fifth reward is we see God working on our behalf. And so as it is in our today's scripture, Isaiah spoke of the God who acts for the one who waits for him. This is really a wonderful promise. Hope that we remember that and keep it in heart. While we actively wait, he is actively working. You know, we think maybe every single day we have the greatest mediator working on our behalf. Can you think about that? Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, but every day he's mediating beside the throne of God for us. And so as we're waiting on him, he's working and actively working on our behalf. Although we wait can be one of the more difficult things in the Christian life, it is not wasted time. God gives us instructions through periods of actively waiting. He may change our circumstances while we wait. He keeps us in step with himself and prepares us for his answers. And he uses the time to sift our motives and strengthen our faith. And so when we choose to wait, God rewards us with blessings both large and unexpected. It's kind of like planting a garden, you know. You go out and put the seeds in, and you have to wait. And you wait, and you wait, and you think, you know, look, it doesn't seem like there's anything happening. And finally the seed breaks the ground and comes up. And if we didn't wait and start digging around at it, then we ruin the growth process and we lose the fruit that we would have gained. And so waiting makes possible fruit and the good things of life in our lives. You know, there are many incidences of people waiting for God in the scriptures. Jacob said to his sons, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." David is recorded as saying, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." He said, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Isaiah prophesied, he said, "It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Yea, in the way of his judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." And finally, Isaiah said, "O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble." And so, you know, the story of Israel, that God's people rejected the Lord, and because of their sin, Israel as a nation suffered much destruction and lots of heartache down through the centuries. Their land was taken. Their temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And they were carted off to slavery. Many things happened, and they had a long wait for the Lord to restore that nation. It was in our lifetime that Israel became a nation. And so we see God restoring her, that long wait is still being played out and fulfilled. And, you know, it's been centuries then that they waited for their Messiah. And finally, in the fullness of time, Christ came, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. It was the fulfillment of waiting on the Lord. And so waiting on the Lord requires God's people in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament to wait. For the disciples, Jesus told his disciples, he commanded them and said not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so then as they waited, Pentecost took place. In the course of those events, the Apostle Paul is learning to wait as well. And it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he actually records a little bit of this verse from Isaiah 4. And he says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And so it is hard for us to wait. But I think it's maybe helpful during that time of waiting if we think about what we're waiting for. And, you know, we cannot fully imagine or conceive all that God has planned for the future. And even creation itself, it's said, is waiting for the redemption that is promised in Romans 8. Even creation itself yearns for the fulfillment of God's redemption. And so, brothers and sisters, as we begin this Advent season, we have a few extra days this year to wait for Christmas Day. But I encourage you to wait with hope. You know, if you've been praying that same prayer over and over for a couple of years, don't worry. Don't forget. Keep on waiting on the Lord. Keep on praying. God is working. He's not late. He's not ignoring you. He is working out the circumstances for His glory. And He will act in His perfect timing. We've said that His timing is not ours. and it seems like we have to wait a long time. But you know, this lifetime is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so 2,000 years the church has been waiting. But, you know, a day is like a thousand years is like a day to the Lord. And so it's only been a short time since He's gone back to heaven. In the comparison of eternity. And so even though we've been waiting a long time for His coming, He will come soon. He says He will come quickly. And so it's not wasted time, it's not wasted energy to wait on the Lord. It is productive. It is helpful. It is important to wait on the Lord with hope. And so God will act on behalf of those who wait for Him. Watch and wait. Wait for Him with hope. Let us pray. God of hope, our dear Heavenly Father, You are maker of us all. You're the potter, we're just the clay. But we give You glory and praise for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who's came to earth 2,000 years ago as a baby born in Bethlehem. And we remember that first Christmas morn. The reason He came was to save us. And Lord, as we begin another Advent season, I pray that You'd help us to wait patiently and expectantly for Your coming again. Holy Spirit, would You grant us a renewed hope that we who are prepared, that You would help us to wait and be prepared for those that wait. Lord, let's not get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of the holiday that we miss the real reason for the season. Pray that You'd help us to keep Christ in Christmas as we prepare in the baking and the caroling and the giving and the shopping and the wrapping, Lord. May the virtues of patience and hope and faith be evident in our lives and also in our celebrations. And I pray, Lord, for the hope for the hopeless. I pray for food for the hungry. I pray for shelter for the homeless. Lord, would You move in this season when hearts are especially open, that minds are mindful of the gift that You gave so long ago. I pray that Your love would penetrate their hearts and that they would receive the gift of salvation this year. Lord, I pray You'd fill up our houses of worship with seekers and with believers and worshipers, that we might give You much glory and praise and adoration. You deserve it, Lord, and we pray in the name of the Babe of Bethlehem. Amen. Would you join me in standing as we close our service today with hymn number 83.
Joyful and triumphant.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Praise God from all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you.